Okay, very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, Sunday the 22nd of September 2019. So we are having our lesson two of the sharing on the Bodhisattva cultivation, the path to truth for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. Okay, before we commence, we will develop the... Whose book is it? Oh, yeah, look, yeah, keep on. Call to Jibo. Oh, no need. I got this book. You can have it. I got this book. Okay, let us get ready for puja. Don't worry about the fan. Just let it be. So we will do our puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhinsu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macapamadatana
Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jama Vandang Pajami Tamang Pajami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. We will continue from where we stopped. We were at page 10. Page 10. The Romanized 10. Okay, we will read from paragraph 2 onwards. The trend of modern Buddhism is to become involved with society. This one is very important. To engage in worldly matters with a world-transcending spirit. In Shiji, for example, from engaging in spiritual practice in temple, to caring for the community, providing health education, and promoting environmental conservation. All practices are connected with the people's daily life and can easily be applied. Spiritual cultivation does not have to take place in a temple. It can be done in the community, or even incidentally through working with other people. If we take every encounter as a chance to engage in spiritual cultivation and tame our mind, we can change our habitual tendency and nurture our wisdom life. So this sentence is very true. If you can recall, under the Theravada tradition, the teaching, the domain of practice, the second clear comprehension. As stated by the Buddha, the domain of practice, if you understand, it covers all aspects of life. Meditation can be developed anywhere, any place, anytime, under all posture. So if you understand that, then what is stated here is very true. And the deep meaning comes from the last sentence. He said, if we take every encounter as a chance to engage in spiritual cultivation, the word is spiritual cultivation. That's why you have to be heedful, mindful, ever mindful and constantly meditative. Then you have to tame your mind. If you do that, then you can change your habitual tendency and nurture your wisdom life. So this is very beautiful. So there are three parts involved. You have a chance to engage in spiritual cultivation, which you know what to do. If you are heedful, then no problem. Means you have to train the mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path or the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you will be engaging in spiritual cultivation. Then tame our mind. Then you can change your habitual tendency and nurture your wisdom life. So the key word is engage in spiritual practices. So I write them down. So Dhamma is life itself. Means
It must be related to life. Okay? That's why you have to engage in society. So when you engage in society, what happens is every encounter in life can be a spiritual practice. Every encounter in life. Can bring about spiritual practice. So this is very important. Then how do you engage yourself in spiritual practice? What is written there is what? You have to? So fast forgot. What must you do? You read the passage again, the last paragraph. You have to tame. So, tame your mind. How do you do it? Thank you. Just put that aside. So to tame your mind, you have to develop certain understanding. We have gone through. According to the Buddha, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not in the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness? Why do you think a lot? Why are you heedless? It is due to what? Due to what? Lack of the five spiritual practice due to the mental hindrance. So what must you do to tame your mind? So you have to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Five spiritual faculties. So that you can overcome the opposite five mental hindrance. This is how you tame your mind. Otherwise, you have to use a skillful means in a form of meditation to anchor the mind, stabilize the mind, to develop sati. So when you can anchor the mind does not wander off. Heedlessly, it does not develop the habitual thinking due to mental hindrance. So when you are able to anchor the mind like anapanasati, you can train yourself to be mindful of the in and out breath. Then that object of meditation is the one that anchor the mind to it. Then if you can be mindful of it, there is no thought. When there is no thought, you are peaceful. You will experience the spiritual joy, piti, leading to more refined state of sukhang, if you know how to relax into it. Then finally, you will realize pasati. You have to train until your mind enters sati. Then you will realize your true mind. And it is very simple. But because people don't understand, they thought the noting of the in and out breath is the meditation. So they keep on doing without understanding. That's why without understanding, you cannot develop it. So to train your mind, to tame your mind, you need to develop understanding, cultivate spiritual faculty to overcome mental hindrance. If before you develop the spiritual faculty, you want to meditate, then you can use this whatever object of meditation. Come in. Somebody help to open. Okay. So if you still haven't had the spiritual faculty developed and yet you want to train the mind, then you need to develop skillful means. mind-sweep method combined with metta, like what I have taught you. Then after that, you have to stabilize the calmness, the inner peace, the mindfulness. Then, of course, you can use a object of meditation to stabilize it. The recommended one by the Buddha is anapanasati. Otherwise, you can use whatever skillful means or object of meditation that you are familiar with. The key understanding in this is these are only skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind so that it does not run, it does not become heedless, so that it can be with the moment in sati, to be aware. And that is your meditative mind, that is your silent mind, and you have to develop the stability of it so that you can use it to meditate. So the other way to train or to tame the mind is to understand that you have to transform this heedless thinking mind that has the mental hindrance born of delusion, self-delusion and ignorance, to develop a type of tranquility and stillness within so that it can go beyond thought conception. So tame or train your mind. So this one is referring to the mundane mind, to go beyond thought conception. You know what is thought conception, isn't it? What is thought conception? Create thought, create sankhara. Understand? So you have to train your mind to go beyond. Means not to be a puttujana anymore. Do you understand? You know what is a puttujana? An unenlightened being. The unenlightened being without wisdom, avijja paccaya sankhara, think a lot. Do you understand? Because of avijja, sankhara is active. That's why it think a lot. So to train, you need to constantly listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, which is first turning wisdom, sutamaya panya. Then after that, reflect, contemplate and inquire to develop the second turning, cintamaya panya. So when you have these two developed, it becomes yoniso manasikara. You will have the straightening of view. You will have more and more right view. More right view, less ignorant, less sankhara. Understand? The first two links of paticca samuppada is weakened. That's how all this thought conception, which is thinking, this one will be attenuated. So when you can reduce this or attenuate this thought conception, you will become beautiful. So this part is most important. So you have to bear this in mind. The training of your mind to go beyond thought conception. That's why you must know how to stabilize this mind. So to do it, we are constantly listening to the Dhamma. So when you constantly listen to the Dhamma, you will develop first turning wisdom, okay? Then reflect, contemplate,
and inquire.
Then this will develop second turning wisdom. So you combine these two. It will become Yoniso Manasikara. So this is the initial wisdom. That's why I constantly listen to the Dhamma. Reflection, contemplation and inquiry is very important. If you do this, thought conception will slow down. And finally, it will cease. Because you have no more wrong view. After you have straightened your view, your mind at the moment of sense experience will not stir, will not react. There is no more sensual desire and ill will, or like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. You become more peaceful, more quiet, more equanimous. And if you do this well, it will lead to daily mindfulness. So this one can lead to sati sampajana, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. That's how later on, if this stabilizes, it will give rise to what? Sense restraint. Very good. These are the steps of the Abhijja Sutta. Sense restraint. Then after that, it will lead to what? The three ways of right conduct. So these are all very natural stages of progress. When you have all this understood, your cultivation becomes very clear, very straightforward. And you no need to go and do all those funny things that people ask you to do. Do you understand? Because this is very direct. And the moment you are able to go beyond, this word beyond is very important. Once you can go beyond thought conception, what happened to you? There is no more thinking, isn't it? No more thought, isn't it? So you straight away realize your true mind. You reach the stage of no thought. That's how you progress. That is what Hui Ning's first hallmark teaching is all about. So just from simple thing you do in life, if you understand the domain of meditation, you can develop the spiritual practice. So Dhamma is life itself. Every encounter in life can bring about the spiritual practice. So spiritual practice, when you understand, is very beautiful. What you need is heedfulness. So this one, you need heedfulness. So once you have heedfulness, you can do it. Then heedfulness is ever mindful, plus constantly meditative. Meditative. So you can understand this, you will understand the practice very well. So to be ever mindful, you need to train your mind, cultivate the spiritual faculty, develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Otherwise, you cannot be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you need sati sampajana. And to do that, you must have initial wisdom. When these two come about, your precept is automatic, sense restraint. Then after that, the three way of right conduct, you will definitely have right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. No problem. So this is basically what Dhamma cultivation is all about. So this last sentence is very good. That's why when you don't understand, you just read it like any other English word. But when you understand, it's very profound, very deep in its meaning. Then it doesn't end there. What he says is, I read again, if we take every encounter as a chance to engage in spiritual cultivation, which I've explained, and tame your mind, you can change your habitual tendency and nurture your wisdom life. So, next one is what? Habitual tendency. So, you can root out your habitual tendency. So habitual tendency is born of what? Born of heedlessness, isn't it? So which means you transform from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living. Do you understand? Yeah. So root out habitual tendency means transform. Life. From heedless living to heedful living. So this is really beautiful, isn't it? When you are no longer heedless, you are destined for enlightenment. So this one sentence is where all the practice is. Then the last part is even more beautiful. You can nurture your wisdom life. So after you have rooted out all this, when you have heedful living, you can nurture your wisdom life. That's the reason why I always share with you all, life itself is the meditation. Life is your greatest teacher. Now you understand. So the whole of cultivation is just so simple. Why must living being make it so complicated? Very direct, isn't it? And when you understand this, you know how to cultivate. You don't have to waste 20, 30 years doing all those foolish things, becoming gullible without understanding what you do. Okay? So far, clear. Any question? You have any question, you raise your hand. Then we can go through it. Anybody? Any question? So now, like, very easy to understand. True or not? How many of you still don't understand? The whole cultivation is so simple, isn't it? If there's no question, then we go on. Master Chen Yan established Shiji in 1966. She asked 30 housewives in each deposit, to each deposit, into a bamboo bank, 50 cents, Taiwan money, from their grocery money every day, marking the beginning of the bamboo bank era. When this story began to spread, it brought out the love of many individuals, because it demonstrated that each person can do good deeds as long as he or she has thought. He or she has good thought. And that even a person living in material poverty can still live a spiritually enriched life. See, to do good, like I say, you don't need to have much money. Whatever little you have, you are willing to contribute. That itself is very, very virtuous, very wholesome. Then sometimes you don't even need money. With your kind heart, with your virtuous thought, you can bring about generosity, blessing to the world. You can help in many areas. The collective consciousness will improve. The environmental consciousness will improve. People who are around you will feel the good thought, the wholesome thought, the virtuous thought. And all these are very conducive. Your love, your metta, your compassion, your gratitude, your kindness, your goodness. All these are very beautiful mind state that can help you contribute to the world, transform the world, have love and be loved. Finally, cultivation is about understanding, wisdom. With wisdom comes virtue naturally. That virtue is true virtue. Without wisdom, that virtue may not be true virtue. So this is very important. It also began to change the common perception of Buddhism being a religion that promotes escaping from the mundane world. So this misconception of Buddhism need to be clarified. I think the last Sunday I did share with you that in the early days, most Chinese believe, or Chinese traditional belief, they believe they want to become monk. People who become monk, the Mahayana or the one that they see in the temple, they always believe these are lazy people. They don't want to work, become a monk. People will make offering and they don't have to work, and yet they get the food and everything. Then last time I remember someone Hayamita used to make joke when they go to Thailand. They see what Patnanachat and a few area where they were told they can go there for long term retreat or training. And everything is provided free. So I remember Mimi and Joyce, they were jokingly saying, you don't worry about not having food and shelter. Chong ke fan piu. In Cantonese, the meaning is what? Long term? Meal ticket. Meal ticket. So they have this jest. They like jokingly say so. But these are the olden day thinking. Nowadays, people renounce because they want to seek the truth. And they believe by going that way, they can find truth. Nothing wrong with that. If you understand what you want, and if you believe that is what you are suited for, then you can go for it and try. Nothing wrong. But later on, when you understand the cultivation, then you come to realize everything is within you. You have to seek within. And life itself is a meditation. You cannot run away from life. Without life, there is no Noble Eightfold Path. Because the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path, all the power factor is related to life. So life itself is the meditation. Life is your greatest teacher. You learn from life a lot of things that my first teacher, Ajayantra, taught me, all come from life. And when I go through life, I also have a lot of gratitude because I learn so much from life, from society, even from people around, especially Kayanamitas, because you all gave me a lot of feedback. I saw the various different type of Kayamita. How many of you have listened to last Thursday sharing? Quite a number. You remember I mentioned about the Cantonese, you call what? The analogy of Ngao Pei Tang Long. Niu Pei Tang Long. In Cantonese, they say, if your lantern is made of cow leather, no matter how you light, it cannot get lighted up. Ngao Pei Tang Long. Tim le tim hoi tim cho. So there are some very difficult to share and teach. But there are some who can pick it up very fast. And people who can pick it up very fast are those who are sincere, devoted, have faith. That's why when you have faith, you are sincere, and you diligently cultivate, persevere, it will bring forth the way. The cultivation is there for you. So three things: faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. Then go back, write all this down, reflect, and check. Have you been cultivating according to this? If you cultivate according to this, it's very easy. Especially the listening to the Dhamma part to develop the initial wisdom. This one needs to be done. Then once that one develops, your daily mindfulness will come. When sati comes, sampajana is very easy, where you have the teaching, the four types of sampajana: sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, then suitability. The last one is non-delusion. So all this will fall into place. Then you will understand the teaching. Pariyatti already developed. Then after that, next phase, put it into practice. Patipatti. And most of you all have started, and some has even developed yoniso manasikara. So once yoniso manasikara is there, you realize you become different. You are more composed, more calm, less reactive. Your mind does not stir like before. You are more and more heedful, and you think much less. So thought conception, mental chattering and verbalization starts to reduce. And finally you realize you are just aware. No more thinking. That's how you come to realize that your daily mindfulness has stabilized. You have become more and more mindful, more and more aware, more and more peaceful, more and more tranquil. And you can experience stillness, tranquility of mind very easily. That is progress. Once you can do that, you know your sati has stabilized. Then with the sampajana, you won't go wrong, you won't deviate. Then sense restraint become automatic, where with mindfulness developed, very stabilized, very stable, then sampajana to prevent you from debating, then your mind become very sensitive. You can see a lot of things. All the essential Dhamma, whatever defilement or whatever, very fast you feel it because it's so sensitive, it cannot arise. Your initial wisdom straight away come out and prompt you. No point. This is delusion. This is sankhara. Sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, dhamma anatta. Things are just the way they are. Condition like that, things is like that. People are just the way they are. Deluded being, do deluded thing. Selfish being, do selfish thing. Evil or angry being, do evil and angry thing. So you can come to terms with the reality. You can be at peace more and more. Then your mind develop more and more quietness, leading to tranquility and stillness. Then the mind realizes paucity and finally stabilize and enter sati. Then everything you do in life is in sati. Every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness is in sati. Then this sati becomes so different. When it stabilizes, it's like a flow. Then everything is like magnified. Then you can constantly throughout the day develop this ability to see things as they are with specific phenomenal awareness. Somebody passing something at the back. Specific phenomenal awareness. So when there is a specific phenomenal awareness, your mind does not dwell. Your mind is ever mindful, constantly aware. And it can be in the midst of life, living life, doing your daily activity, working, sharing, going for a holiday, or whatever. Everything can be done in the state of mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness. Because your mind has transformed. Your mind has transformed from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living. So these two, you must see the difference. That's why the Buddha said the wise one, when they can see the difference, they will intend on heedfulness. So heedless living, this one is very dangerous. The other one is heedful living. This one is very important. So this one will improve your life, will transform your life. That one will nurture your wisdom. Nurture your wisdom life. So all this will bring about understanding, growth in cultivation, develop all of the wholesomeness for spiritual progress, for you to be a blessing to all. This is what the great beings are. When you become bodhisattva, you must have all this understanding and cultivate accordingly so that you can manifest the embodiment of virtue, wisdom, to be a blessing to all. Then you see the importance of Dhamma. You see the beauty of Dhamma that can lead you to understand life so beautifully. Then life become meaningful, wonderful. Then you can do this work with joy, with understanding, with great love and compassion. And you can constantly come for the living being.
and you will never, never regret that you have taken the vow to go this way. Where this is different, this way is so rewarding, so beautiful. And this understanding need to be made use of. Otherwise, after Arahant finishes, then you carry your wisdom along and never to come back to contribute again. That is your choice, understand? But when you understand, you realize life can be meaningful, beautiful. That's why the Heart Sutta said, when you realize true emptiness, life become wonderful. 真空妙有. True emptiness is wonderful existence. Okay, so that part clear. Any question? No more question, huh? Then we go on. Page 11, Romanize 11. Master Chen Yan teaches people to apply the Buddha Dharma in daily life. And she states that each person can become a living Bodhisattva. So this statement is very beautiful there. Yeah? Do you agree? It's very beautiful, and you can fully agree because he teaches people to apply Buddha Dharma in daily life. If you don't apply, means what? You learn and don't apply. No meaning, is it? You are not using it, is it? Like you study all the cookbook, you never learn or practice how to cook. So Buddha Dharma is to be practiced or applied in daily life. And she states that each person, each and every one of you can become a living Bodhisattva. You know what is a living Bodhisattva? Not the one that call themselves Bodhisattva. Understand? It's like a lot of Buddhists say, hey, I Buddhist, you know. So that labor doesn't make you a true Buddhist, understand? In order to be a true Buddhist, what must you have? To be worthy of the Buddha's disciple, what must you have? You must at least follow his advice, heed his advice to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, and cultivate according to this understanding. Then you are a true living Buddhist. And now we must call Karyamita living practitioner of Dhamma. No more Karyamita Buddhist. Sometimes you take the name and proudly say, hey, I Karyamita. I brother Theo Karyamita. Put me into trouble somehow. But if you have the understanding, you reflect the quality, I rejoice. But let the world speak for themselves. Let the words speak for themselves. So far, so good. I heard a very good comment about Karyamita. Just now on the car, Chui also told me. He said, wow, Brother Theo, your Karyamita, everyone glowing. You know what is glowing? G-L-O-W-I-N-G. Shining. Radiant. Then I said, yeah, everyone has improved. And they has changed for the better, transformed for the better. Now they understand life. They are less agitated by life. They have less problem in life, less suffering. They know how to confront them. They know how to overcome them. And they are starting to develop a lot of wholesomeness. That's why the teaching, if it's rightly understood and applied, really can transform living being and make the world a better place. And this transformation is very, very potent because you will never know. Each and every one of you have your great potential. Not until you connect, you will never know. The moment you connect, you will inherit from your spiritual nature and you become very different.
then that time you will have a lot of joy too, a lot of understanding coming back from your spiritual nature. That's how you become different. So have faith. Cultivate sincerely, diligently. Then you will have your condition. It will come to be. So this sentence is also very beautiful. So I repeat, Master Chen Yan teaches people to apply Buddha Dharma in daily life. And she states that each and every person can become a living Bodhisattva. She teaches Ciji volunteer that the state of a Bodhisattva is not unreachable. This is very important understanding. It can be attained through cultivation in daily life. In other words, when we carry out the Buddhist spirit of unconditional love or loving kindness and universal compassion in daily living, we are putting the sutta into practice and bringing the Buddha Dharma into our daily life. So this word, unconditional loving kindness, is very important, and compassion. This is how you develop the first vow. Do you understand? The love and compassion. Out of love and compassion for a living being, you intend, you vow to take them all across. So that is out of love and compassion. That's why this is the moving virtue behind. So like Master Sun Yan put it, in other words, when we carry out the Buddhist spirit of unconditioned love and compassion in daily life, we are putting the teaching or the sutta into practice and bringing the Buddha Dharma into the world or our daily life. When Master Chen Yan expounded the Lotus Sutta is Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. That is the second text of the Fa Hua San Pu Jing, the Threefold Lotus Sutta. The Lotus Sutta itself is the second four teaching. The first four teaching is Sutta of innumerable meaning or infinite meaning. And that one centered mainly on virtue and merits. When Master Chen Yan expounded the Lotus Sutta, she repeatedly emphasizes that in studying the Dhamma, one cannot deviate from the Bodhisattva path. She also stressed that to walk the Bodhisattva path is to interact with people. This one is very important. You have to interact with the world, with people. The spirit of Ciji comes from the Sutta of Infinite Meaning. See? The first Sutta of the Threefold Lotus Sutta. These sutta's meaning and principle are profound and wondrous. True indeed. These sutta's meaning and principle allows everyone, regardless of their level of knowledge and wisdom, to physically carry out its principle in their daily life. Ciji has evolved from a small unknown group to an international organization with an ever-increasing number of worldwide supporters and volunteers. Wherever there is suffering, Ciji volunteers are there to comfort and to help those who are in need and difficulties, those who are in pain or distress, and those who are poor and sick. They take action to provide care and have inspired many people of different faith to become Ciji practitioner or even disciple of Master Chen Yan. Master Chen Yan has led millions of Ciji volunteers To first learn by doing, that's like compassion in action, eh? And then awaken also by doing, means cultivation in the midst of life. But what is Suchi's approach to learning and cultivation? That is the question asked. Why was the Suchi school of Buddhism established 40 years after the organization was founded? And what sutta does the Suchi school follow? These are the questions that people ask. Yeah. Do you know that the Suchi, when they started for the first 40 years, they didn't have formal teaching? That's why according to this introduction is mentioned. Why was Suchi school of Buddhism established 40 years after the organization was founded? Means 1966 until 1990, 2006. Then only they started, formally started the school of Buddhism. And the question asked was, what sutta does Suchi school follow? Since the early part of the last decade, Master Chenyan has felt a sense of urgency. At that time, war and epidemic were breaking out all over the world. She felt deeply that the world was in a tug of war between good and evil, and the people were not purifying their mind quickly enough. In addition, natural and man-made disasters were occurring everywhere. Therefore, it was necessary to recruit more living bodhisattva because of the worsening situation. In the past, whenever anyone asked Master Chenyan which sutta or method of spiritual practice the Suchi follow, or what school of Buddhism the Suchi belong to, Master always succinctly answered that Suchi did not belong to any traditional Buddhist sect or school. Suchi simply followed the Buddha's original intent to work for people, to relieve all beings from suffering, and to bring them joy. She would often say, just do it. Suchi has paved its path with love. For more than 40 years, it has established an image of Buddhism very different from the one most people were familiar with, which was the image of Buddhist practitioners seeking to escape from the world and focusing on rituals such as chanting suttas and worshipping the Buddha. Instead, Suchi volunteered to help others, and through witnessing suffering firsthand, they learned to appreciate and cherish their own blessings. This one is very important. Huh? You have to learn to appreciate life and cherish your own blessing. Can you understand this? Huh? That's why you must have this very simple virtue, but very effective. What are the simple but very effective virtue? First is appreciate life. Huh? Can somebody help to write? Right up there, above the Dhamma is life itself. Simple virtue, right over this side. Simple virtue. Simple virtue. Two dot. Known as number one. Appreciative of life. Then the next one is contentment. Contentment.
Correct. Yeah. So
appreciative of life, contentment. Then the other one is love. Love. If you can have this simple virtue to appreciate life, then cherish your good blessing. The third word is cherish your good blessing. Enough place to put the third one. I think put one dot enough. Okay. So this type of virtue, although simple, but effective. And I always use this for my own personal cultivation. So first is appreciative of life, contentment, cherish. Cherish your good blessings. So you can do this three. You will have the good life. This can help you overcome a lot of negative tendency. Do you agree? When you can appreciate life means you got gratitude. Correct or not? Kan ơn. So this one, when you are appreciative of life, you have gratitude. Yeah, it's a natural tendency. Gratitude. Then when you have contentment means you do not crave. You are very contented, easily satisfied. Means you are contented with life. You can develop the appreciation of life. Then you have gratitude towards nature, towards all things that have given you all the things that you need to sustain your life, to live your life. That's why my teacher Ajahn Yatra always thank nature. He said nature has a lot of loving kindness. Nature just give and give and give. Because when he reflected and contemplated, nature never complained. The air we breathe, we take for granted, it comes from nature. The water we drink come from nature. The food we need to consume to nourish our health all come from nature. Then the comfort of our existence, our homes and all those things, also the raw material all come from nature. That's why nature has great loving kindness, great compassion for mankind. So when we start to appreciate life, we have gratitude towards nature and towards all people or all beings who have helped us, help the world, help make this world a better place. Then when there is contentment, we do not crave anymore. We are contented with life. We can develop the appreciation of life. We can have joy. We never compare anymore. It will cut away envy, jealousy, and all those things. Even lust can go where you are contented. If you live a lay life, you are married to one, you are contented. Otherwise, you will have craving. You become lustful and you want more. So contentment is very important. Then when you cherish your good blessing, it constantly reminds you what? To follow the advice of the Buddha, understand? When you cherish your good blessing, means you know this good blessing is the one that gives you the good life. So what must you do? You must take care of your life. So heed the advice of the Buddha. So this good blessing is something you must treasure. Follow advice of Buddha. That's why I used to tell some Kayamita the Tuesday class, where they come to my house for the lesson. I used to tell them sometimes when I'm alone at home, I felt a lot of joy, a lot of contentment when I look at the house that I was able to build or to renovate and provide for my family, my children. My nature rejoiced because I cherish the good blessing, the good karmic inheritance, the good understanding that this nature has. And there is so much joy, even in that quiet moment, alone at home. So understanding develops all this. The lack of understanding will not allow you to develop any of all this. Jennifer is here, Sadhu. Yeah, you can sit anywhere. So these are the simple virtue, but very effective. So can remember, first, appreciate life. Second, develop, cultivate contentment in life. It will make you very, very different. You will not complain like before. That's all. Envy, jealousy, comparing here and there. So you become very contented, very peaceful. Then you have a lot of gratitude. Then the last one is cherish whatever that you have, your blessing and all those things. When you can have them, you become beautiful. Then your mind states are always very, very joyful, very peaceful. The evil root cannot go in. Do you understand? Simple, but very effective virtue. Then even your ability to thank the great beings for their blessing, protection and their guidance. These are all very good virtue, very good mind state. Then love and compassion. Okay, we go on. We are at the last paragraph, page 12. Tzuji has paved its path with love. For more than 40 years, it has established an image of Buddhism very different from the one most people were familiar with, which was the image of Buddhist practitioners seeking the escape from the world. Oh, this one we have covered, And focusing on rituals such as chanting sutta and worshipping the Buddha. Instead, Tzuji volunteer help others, and through witnessing suffering firsthand, they learn to appreciate and cherish their own blessing. So here is the virtue part. Just now I was here. Appreciate and cherish their own blessing. And then they work to create more blessing. This one is also very important. From their altruistic act of relieving suffering and bringing joy, they also benefit themselves by becoming free of worry and at ease. So this is mutual, understand? Mutual benefit. So first, they perform this altruistic act to relieve suffering. And when you do that, you bring about joy to yourself and to others. Then they also benefit themselves by becoming free of worry and at ease. The other thing is they see the urgency in cultivation. Do you understand? Well, they will come to know all these people had this calamity, affliction, karmic fruition of their negative karma. They have to go through all this suffering. It's because they didn't take care of their karma in the past. Then when they go and help these people, they always have gratitude towards them. That's why sometimes the victim are very confused. They say, you come and help us. You give us so much help, joy, and provide for all this. And you say, can earn gratitude. I cannot understand this. Then the churchy people explain, it's because of you we have the condition to come and help and do all this wholesomeness. Without you, there is no condition. That's why they have gratitude towards them. You thank them, they thank you. When you understand, it's mutual. There must be condition for both. To put the Buddha's teaching into practice, Master Chen Yen promulgates her teacher, Venerable Dharma Master Ying Sun, philosophy of humanistic Buddhism, as the principle of spiritual cultivation. She has carried out the word that her teacher gave her. For Buddha's teaching, for sentient being. So these two sentences are very important to her, because this is the driving force that kept her doing all her work. She set up Ciji and do all this wholesome thing is to continue the Buddha's teaching. That's why he said, for Buddha's teaching and for sentient beings, and put them into action. However, her ideology did not come from Venerable Dharma Master Ying Sun. It's the achievement of her own practice and realization of the Buddha Dharma. She evolved it out herself. She has studied the Lotus Sutta and thoroughly comprehended its essence. So this one is a very important guy. You better mark all this whole paragraph. Which is the sutta of infinite meaning. Both sutta are the foundation of Ciji's mission. That's why they use these two very important sutta. The Lotus Sutta and the Sutta of Infinite Meaning or Innumerous Meaning. Both suttas are the foundation of Ciji's mission. They allow Ciji volunteer to experience the principle through putting the sutta into action. And to understand that the Bodhisattva path they are walking on is the path to truth. That's how the title come about. And same path described in the sutta, the Bodhi path is the broad and direct path. So this Bodhi path, they will arise after you plant the seed of Bodhi. Remember, when you take the vow, the first vow is to plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk this way, to have the aspiration. So this Bodhi seed will be nurtured through your faith, through your sincerity and perseverance of cultivation. Then it will transform and bring forth the Bodhi mind. So from Bodhi seed come the Bodhi mind. With the Bodhi mind, you walk the Bodhi path. You can follow. Any more space to write? I write here. No need. This one big enough. This one is very big. So this one is Bodhi seed. You plant. Bodhi seed, plant. Then Bodhi mind. This one you nurture. Nurture the Bodhi mind. The last one? Bodhi path. You walk the Bodhi path. This is how you do your work as a Bodhisattva. First, plant the Bodhi seed. Then nurture the Bodhi mind. Then walk the Bodhi path. Can follow?
So very simple, huh? Because from now onward, this nature will teach you how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. The vow part already over. The initial Bodhisattva vow and all the understanding of how to develop all this vow, affinity with great beings and all those things, the essential Dhamma that you vow to have, then the vow to break karmic obstruction and all those things. All this we have covered early on under the blue book, cultivating the Bodhisattva vow. Now is the path to truth, to understand the true Dhamma, to walk this way. Because by now, the teaching should be very clear to you and you can apply them in life. And you should be a living Bodhisattva doing all these things with understanding. So, this year onward, when we start on all this, you will learn very different things, very beautiful things. And with this type of teaching and understanding, I tell you, your nature will be very different by the time maybe you end your life, this segmented life, but you will continue. You will have a lot of joy. You will count your own blessing. You will really thank your good inheritance, your good karma, the good condition for you to have all this. This one, money cannot buy. This window is very unique, very special. And very few people can teach you to develop the understanding of all this. Even the Tsuji people, they are involved in a lot of their thing, but very few people can teach what the master has written there. It's not easy. Okay, we go on. Both suttas are the foundation of Tsuji's mission. They allow Tsuji volunteer to experience the principle through putting the sutta in action and to understand that the Bodhisattva path they are walking on is the path to truth, the same path described in the sutta. The Bodhi path is broad and wide and direct. So this Bodhi path, you know why it's broad? And why? You should know that. How many of you don't know? Why only eight people out their hand? You all already know. I call any one of you to come out and explain. Want to come out and explain? Don't know, say you don't know. Understand? Why shy? Because the Bodhisattva way is a very extensive way. You remember? It involves aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation and perfection. So is this path wide or not? So this path is not only broad and wide, but it's very direct. Do you understand? Do you know why it's direct? Bodhisattva, the real cultivation starts when you can connect to your true nature. Do you understand? The higher path. That is for the Bodhisattva to cultivate. That's why it is very direct. It's Hui Ning's teaching. And it's also the Diamond Sutta teaching. Of course, no thought you would have penetrated even as a sainthood way. But the stabilizing of the no thought, you have to go through the Bodhisattva way. You have to realize the true mind. Not only a glimpse or awaken. You have to realize it until very clear. Then after that, when you connect internal transformation, then that one is the higher path. Then you reach from no thought to no mark. Then when you cultivate with no mark, your field of merits is immeasurable, like what is mentioned in the Diamond Sutta.
Then later on, as your mandate might collapse, what happened? Your mind has got no dwelling. It doesn't dwell. With that understanding, it's like the Diamond Sutta say, you know how to cultivate with these three hallmark. Or the four stanza, you remember? Each year, you wei fa, ru mong huan pao yin, zu lu yi lu dian, ying zuo lu si guan. That four stanza come from understanding the Huining cultivation. That's how, when you have that understanding, you cultivate according to that understanding, your field of merit is way, way beyond any practitioner who has the seven treasure of the universe. Even that cultivator were to offer to all the Buddhas, Sammasambuddha or the three period of time, the field of merit that they generate is of no way comparable to a person, a real cultivator who understands this four stanza and can teach it to the world. Just imagine the difference in merits. Because when you cultivate with this level of understanding, which is the Bodhisattva way, following Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, the field of merits is limitless, immeasurable. That's why it's completely a different type of cultivation at all. Then you can make use of this type of merits, blessing and wholesomeness and understanding in time of tribulation to help you develop new understanding and help other people to be a blessing to all, to help bring about causes and conditions for them to be safe, so that you can take them all across. So all this understanding is very broad, very wide, limitless. Okay? By putting the sutta into practice, Suji Volunteer has manifested the teaching of bringing the Buddha Dharma into daily life. So the emphasis is always on daily life. They follow the principle of the sutta of infinite meaning or innumerous meaning to reveal the practice of modern Buddhism. Therefore, the establishment of Suji school of Buddhism can be viewed as the result of the coming together of causes and conditions. See, she also understands causes and conditions. Compared with Dharma Master Chen Yan's previous publication, The Path to Truth stands out by presenting the concept of Jing Si Dharma lineage and the Suji school of Buddhism in an organized manner so that reader can gain a more comprehensive understanding. Divided into three parts. Part 1. This also very important. You better listen. Part 1. Pointing directly to the Bodhisattva path. Then Part 2. Principle and practice for the modern day Bodhisattva. And Part 3. From 1 to infinity. The Path to Truth explain in detail the connection and meaning of this concept. Do you understand the meaning of from one to infinity? I explained before that. But they miss out the first one. From zero come? From zero come one. So from zero comes one. This one is the first thought of ignorance. Understand? That's why Master Xuan Hua like to use this word. 佛跟众生相差一念之间，一念的无明, the first thought of ignorance. So this one is a very important first thought of ignorance. from zero come one. Then from one comes infinity. From one comes infinity. So this is how creation come about. From zero, zero is your true nature, your oneness nature, your Buddha nature, the source of all things. From there it arises, the first thought of ignorance that condition the mind right creation. That's why from zero come one, then one come infinity, the mind right creation. That's how living being become what it is now, traveling in space and time. So the knower becomes the living being, and the living beings become the traveler in space and time. So the living being take birth, travel in space and time, occupying the 31 plane of existence, until finally you realize the full enlightenment to perfect yourself. Then you understand all this, and you know how to come, and you can choose to come. So this part is very beautiful. We stop here. Yeah, 4:34. We can stop here. So we stop at this page, Romanians 14. Do you have any question? Anything that you want to add or clarify or ask? Anybody? Easy to follow, huh? If easy to follow, then very good. Then I can just continue. If you don't have any question, then you can have your meditation. I can allow you half an hour of meditation. Okay. We are off the light, then you can have half an hour of silent meditation. Silent inner awareness meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. After, remind me to share with you the last Thursday class. The last Thursday class one is very good. In fact, the last three Thursday class one is all very good. You should go and listen to the video recording. It's based on the book 75th Lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, all on meditation, and it's very clearly explained inside there. Okay, you can proceed with your meditation. Remember what I shared just now on the whiteboard. If your spiritual faculties are established, your meditative state will be there. You no need to train, no need object of meditation. Straight away relax, aware, silent. The spiritual faculty will bring forth the meditative state. Your silent mind, which is sati, will be there. Then samadhi will also be there. Then with your wisdom, panya, understanding, you will know what to do. The mind will know how to meditate on its own. Develop the understanding on its own. You just aware, 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 until you realize the stillness, the silence, the tranquility. Then when the mind enters sati, pasati, stabilize it. Relaxation is very deep in its meaning. You may think you are already very relaxed, but I can tell you, if you know how to check, you are far from the relaxed state. When you are really relaxed, you are like a dead man or a very tired athlete. Cannot move at all. No stress, nothing, completely relaxed. Unless you can be in that state of relaxation, you are not really relax. So relax and maintain awareness so that the original state of mind, which is already the meditative state, the tranquil stillness state in the awareness without thought. You have to realize that. If your spiritual faculty are not stable, your mundane thinking sometimes can still arise, can still be quite active, but never mind, let it be. That's why I relax, maintain awareness. And when you are aware without thought, don't try to know. The sankhara activity will lose its energy and just slow down and finally become very quiet and still. It's just like swimming. Trust that your body is lighter than water. Allow the body to sink down. Do not resist. Then the up thrust will push it up. Then you will understand, and there's a lot of joy. So your meditative mind is the same. Before you have the habitual tendency, the mental hindrance, the original state of mind, when you are a baby, when you are young, is the meditative state. So trust that nature, relax and maintain awareness and let it settle down. Then the natural state of mind will return to let you experience the tranquility, the stillness and the silence within. Then when you realize that, it's like swimming. Oh, the truth of it is so simple. To meditate, I don't have to do anything because I don't have to create thought. The moment I create thought, I am no longer aware, no longer with my true mind, my true nature. So the Mahayana saying is very beautiful. 无念就是真心. So without thought, you are already aware. That is your true mind. So just relax, silent, aware. Then let the mind settle down and experience that silence within, the tranquility and stillness within for as long as you can. You can assume you are dead, like a dead body. A dead body cannot respond. So relax, just aware. My last teacher say, relax, enjoy. Means enjoy your meditation. Feel good. That is experiencing the inner peace, the inner calmness, the inner awareness. And the tranquility and stillness of mind. That is your true mind. Then you can see the movement from that stillness. The arising of sense experience upon contact of mind with your respective six sense bases, you will see them. So initially when you are aware of them, you find out what happened. If you don't arise the thought or the mundane mind or the concept or the verbalization or the chattering, then you realize it returned to stillness. It just aware. Finish. Then the external traffic sound vibration also same. When it hit your hearing sense door, consciousness will arise. The moment it arises, the awareness understand, finish, cease and return. So every time it arises, aware, cease, arise, aware, cease. Then sometimes this awareness can go to anywhere where your mind is. If you rest your mind at the heart area, it will be aware of your heartbeat. Or you will be aware of whatever vibration that you are able to be aware of. Then just stay there and allow it to develop on its own. Then you realize all of this will slow down and finally cease until completely still. No more movement, no more arising. So this is what meditation is about. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own, then I will set the alarm.
Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then carry this mind state into your daily life. Formal meditation is just to stabilize the sati. Then let the mind develop the stillness, the tranquility until mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it, your mind will be in sati. So that one is a very useful training. So what is happening is all the three, they are very important steps in the satipatthana training. The Abhijja Sutta steps, they are very important. They work together. You don't have to like one step at a time. No. In fact, step two, the listening to the sutta, then reflect, contemplate, and inquire, including investigation of Dhamma. This one can be done all the time throughout your practice. Anywhere, any place, anytime when it's conducive. And as this one stabilized, the yoniso manasikara will also develop and stabilize. Then as you develop and stabilize your yoniso manasikara, your spiritual faculty will also develop, especially sati. Then sati leading to samadhi. Then with your daily mindfulness and your initial wisdom, you can develop the direct seeing too, the understanding of the essential Dhamma. You can see them, who are you, what are you, and you understand them all, how you function as a human being. Then how the six sense doors operate. How upon contact of mind with the respective senses, when you are in the formal meditation, you see them arising and passing away. The formation of thought. So thought formation, you have to see them within your daily mindfulness and also within the formal meditation. Unless you have the ability to see, your mindfulness has not stabilized. Once your mindfulness stabilized, you can see them. The links are very clear. That every moment of feeling, every moment of perception, every moment of sankhara activity, your awareness can be with it. You can see them. Then when you are conscious, every moment of consciousness, you can be with the consciousness first. Before the content of consciousness went in. Then the moment you input the content, you can see the stirring and the movement and the reaction. But once your initial wisdom is there, it will come and prompt you and tell you what this thing is. Then through the understanding, you will not input the wrong content of consciousness because you have straightened your view. But before the initial wisdom come, you can't. The content of consciousness is always with the delusion, with the self-delusion and avijja. Self-delusion and avijja will be there as long as you have not straightened your views, you have not developed the initial wisdom, you have not understood the essential Dhamma. It's only when you start to see them and understand them, then you can straighten your view. That's why later on when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness under Dhammanupassana, you also have to cultivate mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. This is in your daily life.
for you to see clearly how you become what you are. This is to trace your origination factor, how the external sense data upon contact with mind, then with your views, opinion and conditioning born of memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you will see how your mind stir, how your mind react, how it condition you into fear, worry, anxiety. And sometimes attachment, craving, clinging, sorrow and lamentation. Then you can see many of these movements. Then the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, you can see them all within your form and mind. And you have to be very, very mindful, very observant, very attentive, to be sensitive to all this, to see all this. And as mindfulness stabilizes, it becomes more and more sensitive. To do that, your heart also needs to open up. So, step two, listening to the Dhamma, developing the faith, leading to Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, then daily mindfulness, Sati Sampajana. Then after that, the direct seeing in the midst of life, daily mindfulness. All these steps, they are simultaneously being cultivated. Then after Yoniso Manasikara, when your daily mindfulness is stabilized, the direct seeing, the third turning, can also arise. Then when you cultivate the third turning of the Four Noble Truths, follow Satipatthana, the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Mawaya Panya, they can arise. Then as you develop all this, the form and mind that is connected to the cultivation will develop the understanding. Then the wisdom that arises will connect to this form and mind and prevent it from deluded. That's how the form and mind transform and become different, awaken. Then from heedless living, it is able to have the heedful living. Then with the wisdom and the understanding, you will know how to deal with sense experience. You will know how to allow the wisdom to arise to prompt you how to act. And you will know how to act with wisdom, no more acting according to memory, which is not acting at all. Well, your memory is the accumulation of your experiences, good and bad. And all these experiences before you are enlightened, there is delusion. And what living being accumulate are usually the negative mind states, like your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your unhappiness, your sadness, your sorrow and lamentation. So all this, they are within. Even the scars of memory that you accumulate down there, the phobia and all those things, the insecurity, they are all within. Then your selfishness, the anger, your hatred, the envy, the jealousy, these are all negative tendencies. So if you have all this wrong view, your opinion of things, then your duality, then also your belief system, your religious belief and other things, all this is going to condition you to react in certain pattern or way that will delude you and condition you into negativity. So you have to see all this clearly. That is what meditation is all about. So when you see all this, then you realize acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because you are acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. your scars of memory, your phobia, your insecurities, and all these are negative tendencies. That's why you arise wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lamentation, insecurity, including all the negative mental states of possessiveness, aggressiveness, lust, craving, possession, attachment, clinging, grasping. All these are wrong thought. Because you didn't cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you always act according to memory. So memory is not wisdom, memory is knowledge, good and bad. And most of the time it's all the rubbish inside there, the negative tendency. That's why without Dhamma, you cannot see all this, you cannot understand all this, you cannot straighten your views. And you cannot develop the understanding to act. You have to act according to Dhamma way, acting according to wisdom or Dhamma way. So when you act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path, it will bring about the end of all suffering. It will transform you. And this is what meditation is about. See them clearly in your daily mindfulness, in your formal meditation, in life itself. Then constantly reflect, contemplate, straighten your view. Develop the direct seeing, the awakening, insight into phenomena to see the universal characteristic clearly. Then mindful of the five mental hindrances, mindful of the five aggregates form a mind, six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Then the seven factors of enlightenment, all these, they are very useful. Then of course, finally, the Four Noble Truths. When you can do that, you become beautiful. You will transform and you will become different. That wisdom, the understanding will liberate your mind, will free your mind. Okay, so that is the summary of what meditation can bring about. So this is something that you need to develop understanding. Then let us go through what we have studied today. It will help you understand the cultivation. If you cannot understand this, you cannot cultivate. As I go back, write it down, reflect on it, condemn it, and make sure you understand them step by step. Otherwise, how can you practice something that you don't understand, where you every time have to recall through memory, what is step one, what is step two, what is step three, what did Brother Teo say? All this is going to become knowledge. It's not through your own contemplation, your own understanding. That's why you have to work on it, reflect, contemplate, write it down, make sure you understand it. Then when you understand, you can put it into practice, you can cultivate. It becomes very easy. Okay, let us go through the whiteboard, then we review it. So as we start, we have this first opening statement. The Dhamma is within life itself. They say Dhamma is life itself, because what is Dhamma? Dhamma is truth, the teaching of the Buddha. He teaches truth. The essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. All truth is Dhamma. But the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. And these are called Noble Truths because when you understand them, it can make you noble ones. And noble ones in the time of the Buddha are enlightened beings. That's why they are called Aryas. That's why the Aryan truth is for you to realize the enlightenment, to become Aryas. So Dhamma itself is truth. And life itself is also truth, because life arises and passes away following nature's law, nature's truth, which is part of Dhamma. They say Dhamma is life itself. Dhamma is truth, all of nature's law, nature's truth. We have the Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order. First two scientific law, Uttu Niyama, Bija Niyama, followed by the three spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, Chitta Niyama, then finally law of truth, Dhamma Niyama. So these three spiritual law, if you understand, you will develop great wisdom to understand spiritual teaching. Then when you understand Dhamma, you understand life. That's why life itself is the Dhamma. So all these are related, you will understand. And you are part of nature. Nature is you, you are nature. They are all integrated into the oneness. If you destroy nature, you destroy yourself. That's why we have to live in harmony with everything. Then if you are a cultivator, you will understand. Every encounter in life can bring about spiritual practice. This is to understand the domain of meditation. Oh, I didn't write down that one. So this one is to understanding the domain of meditation. Means meditation can be cultivated anywhere, any place, any time, under all occasion and posture. So when you have this understanding, means you can cultivate meditation in the midst of life. You don't have to wait till you retire or you are at a retreat or a temple or a way place, a quiet place. No need. In the midst of life, everything you encounter is Dhamma, is spiritual practice. When you are mindful, aware, you are cultivating heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why here, you need heedfulness to develop spiritual practice, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. The heedlessness is the path to the dead. This is Dhammapada verse 21. And it's very clear. You have to be heedful. Then before the Buddha passed away, again he reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadena. So this is where the teaching is. You need to train your mind to be heedful, not heedless. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. To be heedful is to be constantly meditative and ever mindful. You can do this. You develop spiritual practice in the midst of life. Then you will understand the statement, the deep meaning. Every encounter in life can bring about spiritual practice. And how do you develop spiritual practice? First, you have to train your mind. Tame or train your mind. To go beyond thought conception. To do that, there are two ways. First, cultivate the five spiritual faculties. If you cultivate them, it will counter the opposite five mental hindrance so that there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner calmness. That's why you can be in the meditative state. Without mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder you. You straight away go into the meditative state. That's why technically when your spiritual faculties are there, there is no mental hindrance, you straight away can meditate. You don't need to go for method, technique, and skillful means. You straight away will realize the silent mind, the free mind, in the state of tranquility, stillness, just aware, without thought. Without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no agitation, no thinking, nothing. It's just aware. It's thought that divide, thought that stir the mind, to the ignorant, to the wrong content. So when you are just aware without thought, you are in the meditative state. Then the other way is to develop initial wisdom. Means we are constantly listening to the Dhamma, then constantly reflect, contemplate and inquire into the Dhamma to develop the first and second turning wisdom. So these two wisdom, you add them up, it will become your initial wisdom. And when your initial wisdom is there, your mind is different. It will not stir and react to sense experience anymore. But with this understanding, you will straighten your view. And at the moment of sense experience, you have this wisdom at the moment of contact. Yoniso manasikara. So manasikara is attention. At the moment of sense experience, there is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Means this wisdom, yoniso manasikara, the initial, will come out and prompt you and tell you, he is the way he is. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will learn, and you will know how to be at peace. You will not react and stir anymore. You can accept the reality of the moment to be truly at peace. And that understanding is wisdom, is understanding. And once you develop this, if your mind does not react, stir and create the mental hindrance, what happened to you? You become more peaceful, more calm, less reactive. You have more and more moments of silence, space between thought. That's how your daily mindfulness come about. Sati sampajana, your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then when you understand the four types of clear comprehension, you develop sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. And you will not debate. Your clear comprehension prevents you from going wrong. Because the four types of clear comprehension is very important. First is sincerity of purpose. Your purpose is not to gain psychic, create fame and honesty. Your purpose to meditate, to cultivate the Dhamma, is to develop wisdom, understanding, to free your mind, not to be entangled with life situation, so that there is no more suffering. That's it. No more egoic mind intention. The second clear comprehension is domain of meditation. You are not gullible anymore. You no longer talk in a way like people who don't understand meditation. They will always procrastinate and tell you, oh, I still need to work. I don't have time to go for Dhamma class, meditation, retreat and all those things. I will do it when I retire. Or I wait till school holiday for school teacher and all those things. So to them, the concept of studying Dhamma, cultivating Dhamma and going for meditation is completely wrong. They don't understand the domain of meditation. What is meditation? To be heedful, you don't have to retire from your career, your job. Understand? To be heedful, you don't have to go to a quiet place. In the midst of life, anywhere, any place, anytime, you can be in that state. Then the third type of clear comprehension is clear comprehension of suitability. Means you will know how to set your priority. The most important time is now, because that is the only reality. The moment is the only reality in life, in existence. Where the past is already gone, future yet to come. Both are not reality. So suitability means the most important time is now. And the most important people are the people around you, where you can do something to help them, to be a blessing to them. Then the most important place is the locality where you are in. Other places are not so important, because you can't do much. You are here, you can never do anything that is not related to this place. Unless you send your thought, you send your virtuous thought, your kind thought, radiating metta and all those things. But you will come to have this clear comprehension that will keep you in focus, so that you will not go and heedlessly think of the past, get yourself entangled with the future, creating thinking or building castle in the air, they call it. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. The defilement of insight will not trap you. Yeah, you are very clear about what you are doing. Then when you have sati sampajana developed, stabilized, there is sense restraint. When there is sense restraint, you can keep your precept. When you can keep your precept, you will know how to arise the three ways of right conduct following Noble Eightfold Path. Then after that, you can cultivate four foundation of mindfulness leading to the understanding of the cultivation. Then you will witness the seven factors of enlightenment. That is step 9. Then the natural consequence of it is enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why it completes the cultivation. And now everything has become very clear. So if you know how to train your mind, then your mind becomes heedful. And when your mind becomes heedful, you are no longer heedless. That's why when you train your mind this way, you will root out habitual tendencies. And this habitual tendency is to help you transform life. Habitual tendency, help you transform life. So from a heedless living to heedful living. Then when you do that, it will nurture your wisdom life. When you have wisdom, your virtue, your blessing will grow. Because without wisdom, there is no virtue, there is no real blessings. Everything need wisdom. Wholesomeness all need wisdom. So wisdom is critical. When you have wisdom, you will have the Dhamma. Because Dhamma itself is truth. And wisdom is understanding the truth. That's why they are all related. Then we also touch on this simple virtue. But they are very effective. So when you cultivate right thought, you must reflect on all this. Be appreciative of life. Then you will develop gratitude. When you are appreciative of life, you have gratitude. When you can appreciate what your parent has sacrificed and provide for you, you have gratitude towards them. When you can appreciate the contribution from your own spouse, you will have gratitude towards them. You will love them more. And you will thank them sincerely from your heart. And you will know how to arise the right speech to speak to them in a very nice way. Thank them for what they have done for you. So all this comes from one simple virtue, appreciative of life. When you are appreciative of life, it transforms you. You become so beautiful. Yeah. Then contentment is another very powerful virtue. When you are contented with life, you don't need anything more. That's why there is no more craving. You do not crave. Reason why the Buddha say contentment is the highest wealth. You understand, huh? Because somebody asked the Buddha, what is the highest wealth? So everybody will be thinking of becoming billionaire and all those things. The Buddha surprised them all. He just answered, contentment is the highest wealth. Do you know why? Huh? Why is contentment the highest wealth? You got no money, you are contented, you think you are wealthy. Huh? Are you wealthy? Tell me no, tell me say wealthy. So she is right, because wealthy means what? You no longer need more, understand or not? Well, I'm contented, I'm wealthy. But the rich fellow, the billionaire, still want, understand or not? He is not contented, means he is poor. You understand? Well, the one that is contented no longer need anything. He is wealthy. But you, as a very successful, millionaire or billionaire, you still have craving, have need. That's why you are not contented. That's why you are still poor. Because you still have craving, need. So contentment is very important. And when you are contented, a lot of things get resolved. You got no more envy, no more jealousy. Because you are contented with the way you are. You are contented with life. You are contented with having one wife or one spouse. If you are a lay person, then you are contented. If you are a renunciate or a monk, you are contented with the monk's life. So contentment gives rise to a lot of wholesome virtue, wholesome mind state understanding. So contentment will make you very peaceful, very calm. The craving, the desire, the wanting, the attachment, the clinging, all will start to slowly dissipate. Then the last one is when you can cherish your good blessing, you also have very good virtue, because you will continue to remind yourself, because of this blessing, my life becomes so good. That's why I cherish my good karma, my good blessing. Then I constantly remind myself, to have the good life, I must develop good blessing, born of wisdom, through following the advice of Buddha or Buddha. Then that's how the whole cultivation can be developed. Yeah? Then later on, for the Bodhisattva way, we have this, from zero come one, the first thought of ignorance. The Buddha say, inconceivable is the first thought of ignorance. You need to be a Sammasambuddha to trace back to the first thought. That's why he say, for normal people, you cannot conceive it. We are too long, too long. Aeons and aeons and aeons ago. Then from this one thought of ignorance over the aeons, it has developed into the mind-right creation. From one comes infinity. Okay? So this will summarize for you the practice, the cultivation, the understanding. Okay, now anyone want to report meditation or ask any question, you can. We still got 15 minutes. Pass the mic to Karen.
Ratio and all Kamita. Ratio, I just want to share something lately happened. Then on Thursday, I went to see a couple friend. The husband is already 85 years old, and the wife is 71, very elderly friend. They read palm. The husband is a palmistry, and the wife is a tarot card reader. So when I see them, they're so happy. After 5 years, I get to see them. And they say, Karen, I bring your old print that when you were 35 years old. I read everything. Afterwards, I go and take another print. I was thinking, I don't believe that anymore. But I did not tell him, you know, because he's so enthusiastic and quite elderly. So I was like, okay. After I buy them lunch, after lunch, then I said, okay. Went back to his house in Tamantun. So we took the imprint. He was so shocked. He says, it's a great change in your palm since 26 years. He says, the island time, open up.
Sadhu.
Then the heartline, the small island, all clear. Certain nice top, also extension, according to the palm. Then he says, in the Dharma, you really have, change. The wonder of the Dharma.
It can transform your life. And do you know your palm line change? I have been observing it since young. It changed. But my left hand never changed. My left hand is almost the same. The right hand is the one that will have the changes.
Yeah, he says those unhappiness and
it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. Like the, you're able to let go of things.
Not really let go, but the word is actually wrong understanding. Because to let go, you cannot do it without wisdom. But the reason is, when you have wisdom, you will not hold. Understand? When you will not grasp and cling and hold, there is no need to let go. Understand? Who let go? The person that is holding to something has to practice letting go. When you hold means you don't have wisdom. That's why you are holding it. Then you say, I practice letting go. How can you let go of something without wisdom? You hold it because you believe this is important. That's why when you have a problem, you hold on to your problem. You say, this is my problem. I haven't resolved it. You go and tell him, hey, he know you, he know me, not real. Let go lah. That is word, that is knowledge. And Yun Chan used to tell me, Brother Teo, advise people very easy. We are not your problem. But when it comes to your own real problem, involving your own children, spouse, your own health problem, financial problem, he say easier said than done. He say, let go. Because this thing haunt you, understand? This is your problem, not resolved. How to let go? That's why you must develop understanding, wisdom. Then when you have wisdom, you no longer hold, no longer get yourself entangled. That's why you are peaceful. You are beautiful. I still remember the early years when you come, you're full of stress, worry. Oh, I can see. And now you are so different. Even Tammy also changed a lot. And your life improved when you see Tammy improve, where she's your daughter. So all these are the natural consequence of Dhamma practice and understanding. NDS is a very good example. So when you have the understanding of the Dhamma, you understand life, then you can change for the better. As long as you cultivate, your life becomes beautiful. Because when you are on the path following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil through cultivating your precept, keeping your precept, then when you attend Dhamma classes, when you meditate, cultivate, do all the wholesomeness following Noble Eightfold Path, you actually cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, and you are purifying your mind through meditation, through contemplation, reflection, the first, second, and third turning wisdom. So all this will bring about transformation in your life, personal life, gratitude, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. You become different. You become more wholesome, more noble in your approach to life, in your understanding of life. Then you have joy. You have more moment of peace, calmness. Then you experience in your meditation tranquility, stillness, pity, joy, wholesomeness. And these are the mind states that will make you truly happy, full of joy. Then life become beautiful, meaningful, because your good karma come to fruition. Then you know how to break your karmic obstruction. You know how to confront past karmic friction, to accept the reality of the moment and then move on. All this is going to transform your life and make you a better person. That's why to live life, you only need Dhamma. With Dhamma, you become different. It can bring about great transformation to your life. That's why living beings don't have this understanding. They are trapped in delusion, in ignorance. And such beautiful teaching, which is priceless, is given free. And yet living beings do not treasure it, do not understand the priceless content and meaning. And they just ignore it. And they go everywhere to search. I don't know they search for what. Because when you understand, it's all within you. That's like the Buddha said, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought and mindfulness, he proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation, which is the Four Noble Truth. And the meaning is very deep, because since he also came to know, since he also said, his body is like a Bodhi tree. Bodhi tree means what? Tree of enlightenment, understand that? Means the body can make him enlightened. Why? Because the Buddha say, the four foundation of mindfulness is the only way. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. He said, oh bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the realization of the right path and the right practice. Leading to the enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana. Namely, the four foundation of mindfulness. And the four foundation are all in your physical body. First foundation is Kayanupassana. You can cultivate it using your physical body. All the physical movement, Kaya activity. You maintain mindfulness on it. That is the first foundation. Then within your form and mind, you have the feeling. That's how you can cultivate Vedana Nupassana. Then you have your Sankara, content of consciousness. This is Chitta Nupassana. Then you have Dhamma. Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of truth. Within your form and mind, the essential Dhamma, all the truth will arise. That's why this phantom-like body can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. So these are very profound teaching. When you understand, you go back to your form and mind, you go within, develop the understanding that you have two minds, and start from there. Sing Wei Gen Ben. You start from mind. Then when you understand the two mind, you will know what you must do. The mundane mind, although not real, impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, but you need it to cultivate, to live life. And this one is subject to karma. That's why you have to take care of mind. You have to take care of the physical body. All of the action, speech and thought that it arise because they have karmic conditioning. It's born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And it is what you are because of your karma. So you take care of karma, karma take care of the form and mind. That's why your form and mind, which is the segmented life that you count, the vehicle and the tool, even though not you, but it needs the support of the karmic nature. So this karmic nature, you take care of karma, will be very strong, very well developed. And since the form and mind is born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it, your form and mind will be very beautiful when you take care of karma. That's why take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That's it. And that is the simplest way to live life. Then you look at Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. It tells you the same thing. The Buddha says you must understand mind is the basis of all existence and life. He said mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why from zero comes one, one comes infinity. So when you understand this, you must take care of mind, he said. If you do not take care of mind, then Dhammapada verse 1 will follow you, is it? If you act, speak and think with a heedless mind, without taking care of mind, then you will act, speak and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. If you do that, suffering will follow you, like the wheel of the cart that followed the hoof of the oxen's cart. So that one is very clear. So he said, if you want to avoid suffering, you better train your mind, be heedful, so that you act with Dhammapada verse 2. If you are to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that has the Dhamma, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. And this is what Dhamma is all about. If you understand these two Dhammapada words, you will know how to develop the correct choice to live life. You will know how to avoid Dhammapada verse 1, to avoid suffering. Then choose Dhammapada verse 2. Choose to be heedful, to develop the happiness in life. Because your life, you own your own, you are in charge of your life. So you hold the key to your own life destiny. You want to be happy, you should be happy. But why are you not happy? So learn to choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Then if you know this Dhamma, you choose to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. That's why you keep your precept to avoid negative karma. Then you follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, purify the mind to develop wisdom, so that Dhammapada verse 2 will arise and you will have the happiness in life. So to be happy, to have the good life is very simple. Avoid all evil, do good. Then purify the mind to develop wisdom, to understand life and live the noble life, the happy life. So basically that is the understanding that you need, and you all have done well. That's why I rejoice. So your sharing is very good. Thank you so much, Karen. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Even Chui also can see. He say, all the Kayamita are very radiant, glowing. Okay, anybody else? We still got 3 minutes. If don't have, then we end. Okay. So let us share merit, transfer merit. Then after that, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo devo asat kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhamiko Ibmina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Pay respect, Triple Gem. Then we end. Thank you.
different.